so much, Brother Sam. Appreciate that. Take your Bibles. Go with me to the Old Testament book of Isaiah, the 41st chapter. Last night, your young people abused us so badly. And I say us. My wife wasn't even playing, and one of your young people threw a ball, and it hit her in the face. Then one of your young people, Seth, with a pink ball, with little knobs on it, like little spikes of hair, but sharper, hit me in the face with a ball. So I brought Marco. Now, Marco's Italian. Marco has people. It's in the family. Marco's here to protect me. Yeah. Oh, we did have a great time with the young people last night. At the end, somehow the rules changed and it was everybody against everybody. That was cruel. Then they had this idea of adults against those who are not adults. Exactly. Some of us woke up sore this morning because of the abuse. But seriously, it was a great time. I was honored that you young people allowed me to come and play. I was the only one there in a suit and tie. Amber made me take off the suit coat and tie, and that left my white shirt to be abused as well. But you guys were great, good sports as well. Isaiah 41. I didn't tell you the chapter, did I? I could hear all those papers turning, and I thought, I forgot the chapter number. Just somewhere in there, Isaiah 41. I want to start in verse 1. I want to set the context or the backdrop behind the verses from which I'll preach. It's an interesting start because God is calling Israel to his court. And he's going to tell them, you've been complaining, you've been away from me, you have misbehaved, and I want to speak to you. And while you say you have something to say to me, I have something to say to you. And he starts that way in verse 1 of chapter 41. Keep silence before me, O islands. Let the people renew their strength. Let them come near. Then let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. Could I get you to jump ahead to verse number 21? These in-between verses, God has said everything he wants to say in his court. And then he says to them in 21, produce your cause. Bring forth your strong reason, saith the king of Jacob. So going back to verse number 1, you see the contrast. God is saying to them, you come here and listen to me. And you listen to everything I have to say. Israel had not been doing right. And because of that, God wanted them to know, though you're on the outs with me, and though you're in captivity, there is coming a day where you will be brought back. And they're near this. In Isaiah 41, they're near this time. But then in the midst of this message, God says something to them that's quite interesting to me. I remember first reading it in my personal devotion time. And I'm looking in Isaiah 41 in verse number 17. The Bible reads, when the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Jacob, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittah tree, and the myrtle, and the oil tree. And I will set in the desert the fir tree, and the pine tree, and the box tree together, that they may see, and know, and consider, and understand that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. Let's pray together. Dear Father, thank you for the privilege to stand here tonight at this church. I pray that you will fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to convey that which you placed upon my heart for this hour. God, this is such a timely passage of Scripture. This brings help and hope to the heart. I pray, God, as I talk about this passage tonight, that you would be pleased to speak to our hearts. For this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If I say to you this phrase, have you ever been in a spiritual wilderness? Can you identify with that? We say this word wilderness and we get the idea that there's nothing out there and you're alone and it's barren. And I don't understand how it is that we go through these cycles in our Christian lives, but there are times we go through the cycle and we hit this zone of, does God even know where I am? Does God even care about where I am? You feel isolated. You feel alone. I'm reminded of one of our missionaries that served in the Pacific. And as he served out there in the Pacific, he had reached a part of absolute desperation. And he felt like nobody cared. And he went out to the end of his island. Now, there's a part of his island that your church is wider than that part of the island. In fact, it's a road width with a little bit of a shoulder. That's it. That's how wide and some parts of his island was. And he had been out there for quite some time. And he wasn't seeing any fruit. And one day he drove out to the end of the island. And he walked out into the water. And he had his Bible in his hand. And he was chest deep or waist deep in the water. And he took his Bible. And he waved it before God and said, God, this is Dennis. Do you even remember where I am? Now, for some of you who are super spiritual, you would say, that sorry missionary. And for the rest of you who are normal, you'll say, my soul, I felt that way a number of times. When we're in our wilderness moments, there are some things we ought to know. You have to remember, this is the same God who promised that Israel will always exist as long as God is in charge of the planetary objects, so he will make sure that Israel always exists. You take all the enemies of Israel in this world who are trying to attack Israel and destroy Israel and wipe Israel from the face of the earth. It is not going to happen. God will protect Israel. But I want you to realize this, that even though they were on the outs with God, God said, I still care about you. It's kind of, well, Seth, have you ever gotten in trouble for throwing a ball in the preacher's face? I'm sorry. Have you ever gotten in trouble, Seth? Not that I'm going to pick on you tonight for throwing the ball in my face. I'm a guest. What were you doing in my face? There's like a whole other parts of my body you could have hit. The smallest thing about me is my face. Wham! Right there. Seth, have you ever gotten in trouble? Yeah. Can you attest to that? Yeah. I was looking at the wrong parents. I'm sorry. I was after Joel's parents there for a minute. Yes, he has. Will he get in trouble for throwing things at my face? Apparently not. They're on your team. Fine. I don't want to get too deep in your business, but I really do, but I'm going to pretend I don't. Have you ever been sent to your room without a meal? Not that you recall. What an angel. I'll remind you, so are demons. never mind. I can remember times with my wicked siblings, they would get sent to their rooms. And not be allowed to eat because they were in trouble. I can think of times where I got in trouble. And it was serious. I know, Lucy, it's hard to imagine, right? Like, how could he? He's such a nice guy. How could that happen? Well, you know. And even in when I was in trouble, and it was the worst moment, I never doubted my parents loved me. Why? Because even if you're on the outs with your parents, they still care. Right, Mom and Dad? shook their head no. Did he come home and tell you he threw the ball in my face? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you didn't think you were going to get off with that. What's that? Oops, told mom. Now I know who the law person is, who the mercy person is. When we are on the outs with God, or we feel like our heart and our soul are so distant from God, we have to realize God does love us. And he knows exactly where we are. And even in this, and God is in this stern mode of, you be quiet for a minute, and you listen to what I have to say. And he rehearses all these things that he has done for them. And there, in beginning in verse number 17, the Bible says, when the poor and needy seek water, think about the human condition here. Someone who has nothing, someone who wants everything, and they're thirsty, their tongue fails for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. You say, I thought they were in trouble. Yeah, but God still loves them. God still cares about them. Tonight, in the next hour or two, I'd like to share with you five things. Where's your notes? Do you have to take notes on Monday? So none of it counts what I say? Fine. Make mental notes. The girls are, the guys are not. Oh, yeah. If I'm relying on this, Tobias, we're struggling. He said he only gets called Tobias when he's in trouble, or when was the other time? Yeah, I'm going with Tobias from here on out. I want you to know there are five things to learn from this passage of Scripture that I need to remember when I go through wilderness moments in my life. You may not be in one right now, but you may get to one. And it would be wise to pull this verse and remember what it said. I remember when I first read it, it just struck me. I hung on to it. I made a note to go back and study it. And I had a friend who went through a deep valley in her life, and she wrote me a card. I had no idea. Now, you know you can have friends who go through a deep valley, and you know it. Because that's all they talk about is how bad their life is. But then you have other friends who will suffer through an entire veil and a tough time, and then they never say anything about it. And this was my friend. She wrote a note, and she said, I lived in these verses during my tough time. And I thought, I got to go back. I just read this in my devotions. And I began to notice the specific promises that God makes, six different promises he makes in this passage of Scripture. And then I began to realize, this is what I need when I go through a dark time, when I go through a wilderness experience in my life. Even though I might be on the outs, God still loves me and cares about me. And then I began to see them. Number one, I see in verse number 17. The poor and needy seek water, and there is none. Their tongue faileth for thirst. I, the Lord, will hear them. If I gave you five things, the first one would have to be, when I'm in my wilderness, God hears me. You say, well, does God really hear? Notice the context. God hears their thirst. Thirst is one sensation. Hear is another sensation. But God hears the very cry of their soul. And you never have to wonder, does God hear me? God always hears his children. About 17 years ago, I woke up one morning and I lost the hearing in my right ear without explanation. I lost 60-70% of the hearing in my right ear. And it worsened after I was hitting the face with the ball. No. I woke up, I lost my hearing, ended up getting one hearing aid to compensate for the loss. And then I learned the beauty of a hearing aid. When there are noises, voices you don't want to hear, perhaps even people speaking, you can actually turn it off and, what? I didn't hear you. Then I started to notice the action that it takes to turn off a hearing aid. And I remembered seeing that action the many times while I was preaching. People would just lean back and do this. And I know what they were doing. God doesn't need a hearing aid to hear you. Have you ever noticed a mother whose child is in a nursery or with other children? And all of a sudden, she hears one cry, and she heads to that room. There's a bunch of little blessings making noises in that room. But that mama knows which is her kid. The dad, we're like, they'll be fine. How do you know which one's yours anyway? And the mom knows. Here's a comfort for every child of God. When you're in your wilderness, God always hears you. You may have friends, and you feel like, do my friends even listen? I can assure you, God always listens. You say, well, but does God care? Oh, if he hears when his kids thirst, I'll assure you, God genuinely cares. The second promise I see worth noting in these verses, number one, God hears me. Then notice this, I the Lord will hear them. I the God of Israel will not forsake them. Number one, God hears me. Number two, God knows where I am. There's never a moment on this earth where God is unaware of where I am. He always knows. And like that missionary to whom I made reference, Brother Dennis Jester, he took his Bible, he went out to the island, and he said, God, do you know where I am? Theologically speaking, all of us would say, of course God knows where he is. God called him. God sent him there. God put him there. But every single one of you who have experienced that feeling knows, no, I know what that's like because I feel like God doesn't even know where I am. But even in the midst of the misbehavior of the children of Israel, God said, I won't forsake you. I won't leave you alone. I will come to you. I will be with you. You'll never be abandoned. You'll never be forsaken. But why is it we're so prone to forget that? We just simply say, I know I shouldn't feel this way, but I do feel this way. The truth is, God hears you. Even your thirst, he hears. And God not only hears you, but God knows where you are. The world will make you feel like you're alone. In fact, if you look at the cycle of what sin is, man is selfish. And because man is selfish, he begins to feel guilty. And when man feels guilty, he then begins to try to plug those vacancies in his life with other behaviors. And when that happens, then man begins to feel hopeless. And when man feels hopeless, he feels like life is meaningless and he just wants to quit. But when we consider who we are and whose we are, then we have to say, no, God hears me. I am never unheard by God. God always knows where I am. Here's the third thing I notice as I look at this passage of Scripture. I will not forsake them. Third promise I want you to note tonight. God intervenes for me. Notice what it says in verse number 18. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and dry springs and the dry land springs of water. If I'm thirsty and I'm in the high plains or in the desert, God knows that and he can bring water in the high plains or desert. If I am in a place where I'm in a valley, God can make water come there. If I am in a wilderness, God can make it a pool of water. If I'm in a dry land, God can open up a spring for me. No matter where I am, God can bring water to my soul. I remember I was out west Montana, I think, somewhere. I was speaking to a rancher, and I asked him about how deep his well was to get water. I know at our house, we live just in Kings Mountain, and I think our well is 262 feet to get water is where what we have at the house. I asked him, I said, how deep do you have to go to get water? He said, we get nothing but 4,000 feet deep. He thought, well, I know what I paid for my well, and I'm thinking 1,000 before you get anything? But no matter where I am, no matter at what altitude I live, no matter what I'm going through, God cares about my thirst. When I am feeling like, no, no one knows where I am. No one knows what I'm going through. Nobody understands this struggle. God understands this struggle. And God can produce water for my thirsty soul. You say, do you really think God would produce pools in the wilderness and fountains and springs in most of the unlikely places? There is no problem for God. He fed his children of Israel in the wilderness. He provided water for them when they thirsted. God has a proven track record when it comes to his children. But yet we act sometimes like, well, God doesn't hear me. God doesn't even know where I am. God's forsaken me. But when you realize that God will intervene for you, he'll make a way for you. He will step in and provide for you. This wonderful truth ought to encourage every mom that's here and every dad that's here, every person that is here. You've got to realize this. God will make a way for you. He went 40 miles out of his way for the woman at the well. Went 100 miles out of the way for the Syrophoenician woman. God will intervene for his children. He will make a way. You tell me, Brother O'Malley, you don't understand the mess I've gotten myself into. God hears you. God knows where you are. And God will intervene for you. Just simply cry out to him. Tell me what your wilderness is. And I'll tell you, God knows where you are. Tell me what it is you feel like God doesn't hear you, and I will tell you, God will hear you. Tell me what you're facing, and you say, there's no way that God can provide for me. He can put wells where there's wildernesses. He can make rivers where there is no way a river would appear there. He will make a way for you. The fourth promise I see in this passage of Scripture tonight, I'm looking at these promises of God. God hears me. God knows where I am. God intervenes for me. But I love this part as well in 19. We switch from thirst to water in odd places, and now we get to God the gardener. Watch what he says. I will plant in the wilderness. Now, when we think wilderness, we're thinking, what could grow out there? But here's what God does. Because if you're in a wilderness, what are the two things you need? Shade and water. What are the two things God is providing in these verses? God is making his case, and now before he closes his case and say to them, you produce your cause. You give me your strong reasons. He's telling them, I hear you. I know where you are. I will intervene for you. And I want you to see this. Fourthly, God arranges things for me. What does God arrange? I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittah tree, and the oil tree. He says that I will set in the desert the fir tree and the pine and the box tree together. The fourth thing I want you to see is that God arranges things for me. Caleb, imagine with me that we are walking in the woods. No, we're not going to karate chop glass together. I learned my lesson. You want to see my scar? Caleb, we're walking through the woods. We come up to a fence. We're in the middle of nowhere. And there's this fence. On top, Joel, you okay? You're already laughing. You don't even know what I'm going to say. Maybe you do. He's thinking about your answer. On top of that fence, oh, nothing. Do you mind if I continue? I got to be done by a certain time. I'm union. I've got to finish by my break. On top of that fence post is a turtle. coincidence? Is that what you said? I didn't hear you. A plot twist, yes. Oh, we're studying narratives. Okay, let's continue. Let's let the plot not only twist, but thicken. Fence post, wire, wilderness, two guys. Why are we walking in the woods? I have no idea. But there we are. Turtle. Black. Turtle. Yellow underside. Yellow markings in the little stuff. Okay. The shell, whatever they call it. I look at you and say, huh. Wonder how that got there. What's your answer? You're going to say the same thing. Because that's what I need is a friend to just echo all of my questions. Yeah, you don't know either. Let's start with this. Did it crawl up there? Who said no? Lucy? Jaden, you said no. Why are you back? You were up here yesterday. The girls let you come back. There wasn't room, but now there's room for you, and you're welcome to come back. Jaden, how did it get there? Because every sentence that starts with makes me yearn for slow death, but go ahead. I don't know how it got there, but it could not have crawled. There's a gravity issue. There's a traction issue. JJ, how did the turtle get there? Yes, that's the other word I long to hear. Someone could have put it there. That's a big idea. Caleb said, I didn't do it. Typical boy answer, wasn't me, Mom. God said to Israel, in your life, you're going to come to a place and you're going to be in a desert. And I'm going to put together three different kinds of trees. And you're going to see these. And you're going to know I did this for you. Remember what I said? You're going through a wilderness in your life. And in that wilderness, you need water and you need shelter. And then look at these trees that God puts together. Okay, guys, here we go. There are deciduous trees and coniferous trees. Joel's like, yeah, cool. What? Do you know what that is, Seth? Kind of? Oh, I don't even want to ask. Kind of? Two different kinds of trees, and God's going to put them together in the middle of nowhere. That's a turtle on a fence post kind of moment. A marker to help us see, whoa, 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 God put that there. I remember he said, he'll always hear me. He'll always know where I am. He'll always intervene for me. And look what God did. He put these three trees together. Sometimes in our lives, we have moments like this where we'd say, we look at the situation and say, only God could have done that. Whether you call that a God moment, because I don't think there's a moment without God, but if you refer to it as a God-like moment, or you refer to it as a blessing, you refer to it as an answer to prayer, know this, God will arrange things to let you know he cares deeply for you. Why do we suffer as we do? Why do we get to the place where we say, God doesn't hear me? Yes, he does. God doesn't know where I am? Yes, he does. God can't do anything in this situation. Yes, he can. If he can produce water at high altitudes or low altitudes or in barren places, he can provide for you. And then God can take fence post and turtle moments to say, I think Caleb will get this. He'll put the turtle on the fence post and maybe Caleb will walk along and see it and say, huh, who did that? Or he could say, that's a God moment right there. God just did that for me. And you may be in a low spot in your life. And you you thought you'd come in here tonight and say, I don't know what help there'll be for me. And this verse, this passage of Scripture, God is using to speak to your heart to remind you, He does hear you. He does know where you are. He will not forsake you. He will intervene for you. He will arrange. But why does He do that? Look at the next verse. God works His will in our life to show us His hand. God hears me. God knows where I am. God intervenes for me. God arranges things for me. And God will show His hand to me. Look at this last verse in our passage. That they may see and know and consider and understand together. So there are moments in our life that God will put these, if you will, turtle on the fence post thing, and He'll put those moments where He's put the three kind of trees together, and He says, I'm doing that for you to know that's my marker. I've been here before you. I'm here with you now. You're not alone because I want you to see it and to know it and to consider it and understand what? That God's hand did it. This last year, I got a call from the granddaughter of my friend. And her grandfather and I were friends, and he went to be with the Lord. And she called me and said, she was at 38 weeks, and she's just days away from delivering. This is a baby we're talking about, 38 weeks, never mind. And so she calls me and said, Brother John, you have to pray right now. They can't find my baby's heartbeat. Mama texts me, pray for my girl. We can't find the heartbeat. I was away preaching somewhere, and they called and made it known. I began to pray. Hour or two later, lost the child. 38 weeks. She said, Brother John, would you come and bury my baby? I said, I will be there. And I flew up that morning, helped the funeral director carry the little camouflage casket of that little fella, Jeremiah. And the funeral director and I set that casket in place. Preacher, there is nothing harder when it comes to funerals than the infant funeral. There's just not. And we set it in place and we waited for the family to arrive. And slowly they come up and they sit down and they take their place of grieving. You know, at that point, you feel like it's a wilderness. You feel like in that moment that mama was saying, I'm going to give birth to a baby. And then their child is born with no life. So where is the answer in all this? Does not God hear when I'm in these moments? But He does. God always hears. He always knows where you are. He will intervene for you. He will arrange things for you. Why? So you can see His hand. It's been almost a year. Well, just a little over a year. And I saw that young mama. Just I don't even know what day it is. Anyhow, last week. And we sat down and we talked. And she related a whole incident in her life that has been occurring. And I thought, God, as painful as that moment was with that child dying, Your ways are best. Because had that child been born and this situation occurred, God only knows what would have come in that moment. And many of you tonight can say, oh, it was ugly when it happened. It was difficult when it happened.
But yet I could see God's hand in it now. And I see how he was arranging things for me and he was intervening for me. And while it hurt at the time, while I ached at the time, I know God did that. Don't ever forget how much he cares for you. Don't ever forget that he always hears you. In the situation through which you're going right now, and it feels like you're going to die and your life is going to break and you feel like there is no hope. Could I tell you something? God always hears you. Even when the soul is thirsty, God hears the soul. God knows exactly where you are. And you're not abandoned. God will intervene for you. He'll arrange things for you. For one reason, he wants you to look for his hand. I can't see God's hand at this moment. Start looking around. It's there. So I can't make it right now. I know it feels that way. But only just a little over a year ago, I buried that child and sat with his mama just last week. I realized God's ways are best. Well, that's not my way. Well, that's the whole point of life. We're not here for your way. We're here for his way. Does your heart hurt tonight? Is your soul so thirsty and you feel like you're about to quit? Do you feel like you've reached rock bottom and you're just wondering, is there any reason to go on? You came to revival meeting tonight thinking, God, if you could just give me one thing to cling to, it would mean everything to me. And then God brings you to this passage tonight to say, I hear you. I know where you are. I'll intervene for you. I'll arrange things for you. Just look for my hand. I'll take care of you. Would you stand with me? There's no location where God cannot reach us. There's no emotion which God cannot feel us. There is no condition which God cannot change. There's no situation in which God will forsake us. Dear Father, tonight for the hearts that hurt, that are lonely, that feel forsaken, that feel isolated on this Monday night of our revival meeting, may we remember your ways are best. Help us to look for your hand. Let us see the turtles on the fence post so we understand it's you who is at work. May we not doubt you in the darkness or despair when it seems all that is hopeless, but rather may we say, where's God's hand? Let me just see his hand. If I know his hand is at work, I can make it. May there be a room full of people tonight who will say, God, help me to remember these things. So tonight, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed and none looking around, the music beginning to play, why don't you come tonight? The altar is open. Dry spot, is your soul thirsty tonight? Does your heart ache in such a way that it just does not seem like God cares? God hears you. He knows exactly where you are. He'll intervene. Israel was even in trouble and God said, I'll do this. He wants to show you his hand.